Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. A shout-out to my channel members and my patrons. If you're new to the channel, consider subscribing. There really is nothing more terrifying than being chased by a Wendigo in the woods. Well, maybe a Dogman or Skinwalker, too, but hey. Either way, it's completely terrifying. Roughly a year ago, I found myself finishing a job sooner than I expected. Due to that, I was stranded in an unfamiliar city without a place to rest in the middle of the night. Thankfully, I was able to find a motel that was open 24 hours. It was a bit run down and I feared how clean the rooms were, but it was better than the street for the night. I walked into the small empty office to check in. I imagine the clerk was taking a nap, not expecting anyone to show up in the middle of the night. It took him a few minutes to arrive, and in those few minutes I started to snoop through the magazines on the counter. Old things about to be thrown away. I wasn't tired yet and disliked most TV shows, so I often read in my spare time. I had finished my small stash of paperback books, so I was in need of some new reading material for that night. In that pile of faded magazines was a notebook, a thin one meant for schoolwork. Interested, I started to flip through it just as a clerk came to greet me. After getting my room arranged, I asked about the journal. A guest had left it behind a few days before my arrival. The clerk didn't know who was in the room, only that they left the journal behind, room door wide open, and the bed pushed back far against the wall. They had kept the journal, just thinking maybe the person just was going out and was going to come back for it. No one ever showed up, so the clerk was going to have it tossed out. I saved him a trip to the recycling bin out back, and took the pile of magazines with the journal on top. After I settled in my room, I started to look through the small journal again. It was a plain one that you could purchase just about anywhere for a dollar or less. The front few pages had been torn out. The rest of the pages were filled with neat-handed writing detail a story that most would find to be fiction, but I have seen stranger things in this world and was not so fast to dismiss such stories. I have since given the journal to an acquaintance of mine that collects such things. I only remembered that journal now because I had heard about a person that appeared in the journal. Since I have the time, it's best I write down this first. Mind you, it has been a full year since reading this tale, so I may not have all the wording the way it has been written, but the events are all the same. This happened when I was still in school. It's an event my town has forgotten about. No one but myself knows the truth of what happened. Well, I'm the only human who knows the truth. I was in my last year of school, ready to be free and enter adulthood. I counted down the days I could escape the town and go off to college, and what I thought at the time, my real life to start. I wasn't the only one. My two friends also wanted to get out of the slow and boring town. We all had different plans, but swore we would keep in touch after grad. To celebrate, we planned to go camping over one of the last long weekends of our teenhood. Everything had been planned out for months in advance. Funds put aside and booze hidden away for when the time came. The first bump in the road was when Joss started to date Rebecca. She was loud, and the type that could not let any conversations die down or have any pauses. I did find her annoying, but I liked how Josh was happy with her. I didn't think she was a really bad person or hated her. I could only spend so much time around her at a time. I never told him, but I think Josh knew. Somehow, she found out about our trip and invited herself along. It was a setback, but I wasn't going to let her ruin our plans. I would just have to find a way to like her. Then, our lovable Tristan sprained his arm. He was a big goofball and must have had bones of steel for never breaking one before. His mother was the overprotective sort and nearly didn't let him go into the woods with a sprained arm. I really wish she had listened to her. We were young and thought we were immortal. Finally, the day arrived, and I was going over my bags ready to get going when the phone rang. My parents answered it, and in the next few minutes they were in a frenzy. I had a sick aunt that lived out of state. She had been in for treatments, and I guess it wasn't going well. My father and mother needed to go see her, and I had offered to come with. They told me my aunt would want me to go on the trip after looking forward to it so badly. They didn't think I needed to go with them, but the problem was what to do with my younger brother. He was 13, and unlike Tristan, did not have bones of steel. He was accident-prone combined with the worst luck of any person on the planet. Even though he could have been on his own for a night or two, it wasn't worth the risk. If he did hurt himself, someone needed to be there to get him to the hospital. It was such short notice that none of the people who normally could watch him were available. The only thing was to bring him with me. Bringing your little brother really was lame, but there was nothing I could do about it. It just meant I couldn't get wasted as planned. This was back in the days of those clunky flip phones. My dad gave me his, so in case my brother broke an ankle or got mauled by a bear, I could try to call for help. I shoved it into my jacket pocket. Because my parents took the car, we had to walk. It wasn't that far, an hour at most. But it was an hour if you were in high school. My brother slowed us down, and only arrived at the meeting spot when the sun was starting to set. Tristan met me outside the woods and at the start of the trail. He gave me grief for bringing Jesse along, but I think he preferred my brother over Rebecca. Because I was late, they had already set up their tents. Me and Jesse scrambled into the dim light to set ours up. When I arrived, I found it pretty peaceful. Rebecca sat on a log by a fire Josh had started. She looked a bit pale, but I never knew her to stop talking, so I was worried. "Hey, look at these weird flyers we found," Josh said before I could ask Rebecca. He handed me a few sheets of paper. I had noticed a piece of paper or two stuck to the trees while me and Tristan walked through the woods, but I didn't stop to read them. Apparently, they had found a bunch but used them to start the fire. "Lost in the woods? Call this number. Need help? Call it. Seen strange things? You guessed it. Call this number." Each paper had the same phone number written at the bottom. Josh took the flyers back and tossed them in the fire before I memorized the number. Back then, not everyone had cell phones. I already had forgotten I had my dad's phone in my pocket. If I did, I think we would have messed around and tried calling it. But all of us were unaware of the phone and just burned the papers. "Hey Jess, why don't you go and find some more of the wood for us?" Josh said when he saw my brother already getting bored. The child took off holding a flashlight, glad to be trusted by an older person to do an important job. I got stressed over not being able to see Jesse or him go off into the woods, but he was smart enough to stay inside of us. "Are you feeling all right, Rebecca?" I asked finally. As Jesse was going back and forth between the edges of the woods and dumping twigs, the three of us talked about school, but Rebecca stayed staring at the fire. She nodded at times but didn't contribute to the conversation. It was so out of character for her. "All right," she said, not looking at me. "She doesn't have a fever, just tired, I guess," Josh told us and wrapped his arm around her. "Just tired," she said with a nod, but still looking out of it. "Maybe we should take her back," I suggested and started to stand up. It was already dark, but I could find my way out of the woods if I followed the path with the flashlight. I didn't want them to think I wanted her gone, but I was worried for her.
"No."
She tossed her head up and gave me such a dark glare it made me freeze. Something was not right with her. She must have realized how odd she was acting, so she forced her face into a strained smile.
"Just tired,"
she said again, sounding a bit more natural and lifelike. Tristan didn't like the tension, and to break the mood, he brought out the marshmallows. Jesse magically appeared when the treats came out. Soon, Rebecca's odd mood was forgotten. The next few hours were a good time. We made s'mores, roasted marshmallows, and dared each other to eat them while they were still on fire. Our plans were to drink, but we only had a beer each. Jesse tried a sip and gagged on the taste. I hoped that experience turned him off the drinking until he was old enough. Even with our slight plan hiccups, we had a good time. Hours of chatting and sharing dumb memories, talking about future plans, when Rebecca decided to turn in. I thought it would be best if we had an early night. I put Jesse into our tent and stayed outside to help Josh chop some more firewood. Tristan still had a sore arm, so he went to his small single tent next to mine, leaving us the work. We knew if we didn't do it that night, we would be too tired and lazy in the morning. Josh brought a small hand axe to make it easier. It didn't take very long to make a decent-sized pile. Jesse did a good job of finding small branches, but we needed bigger pieces to keep the fire going. I don't remember what my last word had been to Josh. Most nights I sit awake trying to think of what I said to him when he went into his tent, or if I said anything to him at all. As last hours with your friends go, I had a good view. Inside the tent was a bit crammed with me and Jesse. Somehow, I was able to sleep for an hour, but because of the small space, Jesse woke me up when he sat up. He crawled onto me trying to find the flashlight. I was a bit annoyed by being woken up. "What are you doing?" I whispered in case everyone else was sleeping. "I need the pee," Jesse whispered back. I groaned. I didn't need to go, but I couldn't let Jesse go out on his own and get eaten up by some wild animal. For some reason, a mental image of a monster-sized owl swooping down and just taking my little brother away kind of made me snort laugh. Knowing his luck, that would happen to Jesse. "I'll come with you." I got up and grabbed my jacket. Getting out and stretching, I waited for Jesse to start walking. Our fire was still going weakly. Jesse turned on the flashlight and swept the beam of the light into the woods, testing it out. I saw a flicker of white in the light and thought it was just another one of those weird flyers stuck to a tree. I stared at the white shape, trying to make it out right, and was distracted when I heard Josh's tent open. Staring at the white shape in the darkness, I saw it move. I was so sure it was just paper fluttering in the wind. But then, another white shape came from behind a different tree, then another. Next to me, Jesse screamed. On reflex, I wrapped my arm around him and shot my head over towards Josh's tent to see what had scared my brother so much. Rebecca stood barefoot looking at us.
"Just tired,"
she said in a strained voice that didn't belong to Rebecca. Her front was covered in so much blood, it dripped into the dirt below her. She still had her face, but her body had looked too skinny and too pale. Long, twisted fingers reached out towards us, and she took a stumbling step closer.
"No, just tired."
Everything happened at once. Tristan came shooting out of his tent to see what the scream was about. He stared in shock at Rebecca, and couldn't do anything when a blur of white came shooting out of the dark woods and on top of him. I darted forward to grab the axe beside the fire pit, but let go of Jesse when I did. My dumb little brother ran. He ran screaming out into the woods, still holding on to the flashlight. I had an awful decision to make. One I still regret to this day. A creature was on top of Tristan, my dear friend, screaming, struggling to get him off him. It was deadly thin and pale, its mouth filled with countless teeth snapping back, trying to get a bite off of his face. Rebecca still hadn't moved. I saw more faces of the pale creatures slowly coming out from behind the trees. Axe in hand, I grabbed the thing off Tristan and pulled it off him. I swung the axe into its neck, causing it to squeal horribly. Tristan looked at me with a shocked, thankful look, but I left him. I don't think I killed the thing that had attacked him. I just turned and ran after one swing. I could still hear and see Jesse, so I couldn't stay to help Tristan. I didn't know what happened to him after I left him behind. I wasn't even aware enough to realize I was still holding on to the axe, leaving him defenseless. I could only hope that he got up and ran. I caught up to my screaming and crying brother. I grabbed his hand and we ran together, flying past more and more paper struck the trees, not stopping to read them. Each paper a pale white, making us think those creatures were still coming after us. We saw some figures, but they were moving towards our camp for that moment. We ran in a panic. When I finally made us slow down, I realized in horror we didn't know where we were. We had gotten lost in such a short amount of time. Jesse was sobbing, but he had ran so much he couldn't get enough air in to cry out loud enough. My head darted around looking for more creatures. Keeping a grip on Jesse's hand, I made us walk trying to find the trail. By sheer luck, we not only didn't come across any more of those creatures, but found ourselves in a clearing. The full moon giving us enough light to see by. So I made Jesse turn the flashlight off to save the batteries, and to not let the creatures see us. I let him cry as quietly as he could. I didn't blame him. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw White and raise the axe. On a tree beside us was a piece of paper that had not been there before. Paper I had mistaken for a monster. As I stared at it, writing appeared. Lost in the woods? Being chased by monsters? Little brother with you? Your name is Cal. If that's you, call Jake. No. Really, call me. Under the words was the same phone number as before. It was just too weird. Being chased by monsters was scary, but this was just weird. I was wearing my jacket that I had the phone in the pocket. I didn't think we had anything to lose by calling the number. Our situation couldn't get much worse, right? Of course, I first tried to dial 911, but static only came through. With shaking fingers, I dialed the number. A single ring next to me made us both jump. You kiddos need some help? I pulled Jesse into a protective grip when I heard the voice. Beside us was a person that had not been there before, flip phone to their ear. Even in the situation we were in, I didn't trust the stranger. He was wearing a black coat that was so large it wasn't practical. The sleeves hung too close to the ground and the collar covered half of their face. By their voice and what was visible of their face, I could tell what gender they were. But if this was Jake as mentioned on the phone, then I guess they were a guy. Jake was tall and only took two steps to get in front of us, staring down over the collar of the coat. Red hair covered half of Jake's face and the right eye. The left eye was a deep glowing red that made me realize I was not dealing with someone human. Can you help us? Jesse whimpered, and I held on to him tighter. Well, sure I can, Jake purred, looking pleased by our fearful state. I saw some more creatures faced off in the distance through the trees. They looked wary of the newcomer, but I knew they would come towards us soon. My distrust was forgotten when I saw the faces of the pale creatures starting to surround us. Please, save us from those Wendigos, I begged. I didn't actually know what those creatures were, so the first monster name that came to mind spilled out. They're not Wendigos, Jake stated point blank. I spat out, my anxiety spiking when a pale face came even closer to the trees. It does. If you say, oh please Jake, save us for some Wendigos, I'm bound to only save you from the Wendigos. These things could eat you and I could do nothing. Wording is important, you know. I was half listening to Jake, but I still got the point. Jesse was clinging onto me as he started to freak out over how close those creatures had gotten. A brave one had gotten only a tree away. It stared at us with dead eyes, mouth wide, and drool dripping to the forest floor. Please save us from these things trying to eat us, I said quickly, my voice pitching in panic. What will you two give me in exchange for saving you? Jake asked, a red eye gleefully looking down at us. Anything, I shrieked, as the creature finally jumped towards us, its twisted long fingers reaching out ready to tear us apart. I was desperate, and so overcome with fear, I didn't think of what I had promised to give. I only wanted us to get out of those woods. I was convinced the pale creature was going to reach us. It was so close to my face I could feel its rancid breath, and then it suddenly was gone. Jake had moved so fast I didn't even see what had happened. One moment, I was a second away from having my face bitten off. Then the next, the creature had its head crushed into a tree and the thin pail limped to the ground. Hold my coat. The coat was tossed at us, but I let it drop, being in shock of what had just happened. I stared at the dead creature, then looked around to see the rest retreating further back after one of their members had been killed. They still stared at us through the darkness, but almost looked scared, jittering through the trees. "You're a girl?" I asked Jake, letting the first question that came to mind spill out. There was a lot more pressing matter at hand, but for some reason, that was what my brain wanted to say. Jake had a scar over the right side of her mouth that exposed teeth and twisted her top lip, making her have a forever smirk. She was only wearing black shorts and a sports bra, and she was skinny. Skinny enough for me to see all of her ribs, but oddly enough, her arms looked muscular. "Wrap the coat around yourself. It'll cover up your smell and protect you from those things trying to bite you. I need to attract them to me and put them into a frenzy to take them all out at once." Jake reached out and took my jacket sleeve and pulled it so quickly it tore off. I was a bit annoyed, but let her. She then roughly took my hand and I cursed when she cut a deep gash into my palm. Letting the jacket sleeve soak up the blood, she offered no apology. Jesse looked worried, but too traumatized to react. When the sleeve was wet enough, Jake tied it around his forearm and walked away from us in the middle of the clearing we had stumbled into. I quickly wrapped me and Jesse under the large coat. I poked my head out the top so I could see what was going on. The creature had started to make hissing noises when my hand was cut. They could smell the fresh blood and they no longer were scared of Jake. They only wanted to find the source of the smell to finally eat. With Jesse safely under the coat and my arms wrapped around him holding him as tightly as possible, I watched what on earth Jake was going to do. Standing in the middle of the clearing, she waited for the creatures to come closer. The moon was full so I could see what was happening perfectly. The blur of light darted out towards her, only to have it slam down into the ground. Without giving it time to recover, Jake twisted its head clean off. That gave me some hope of living through the night. She was strong, strong enough to swat away the monsters that had killed my friends. Motivated by the smell of blood, two more creatures came at her. They screamed a horrible sound that made my stomach turn to ice. One had cut Jake's shoulder before it went down. She didn't seem to notice in the slightest. In fact, she was smiling. In a short time, I could no longer count the number of pale forms in the woods around the clearing, and I soon realized what our downfall could be. Jake was strong but could not deal with the sheer number of monsters coming for her. If more than three came at her at once, she could get cut, harmed before she could kill her attackers. I watched my fear returning as two more took a fallen one's place. Jake took a brutal cut across her stomach from the creature's claws, but for some reason, she started to laugh. Every cut she received, she started to laugh harder. Tossing dead and torn apart creatures, her laughter grew to a crazed shriek. Jesse started to shake under the coat, not wanting to see, but the laughter was scaring him. He had no idea what was going on, and though, a new monster had appeared. I held him, forcing myself not to worry. Jake was on our side. We would live through the night. That was all that mattered. What I saw next made me completely doubt that fact. Something else came from the forest. It made the remaining creatures scatter and try to get away, only to be caught and scooped up by this new monster's many arms. It had somewhat of a human shape. Countless human arms lined each side of its body. Human legs twisted together to make a pair supporting its massive weight. Its head was made up of skulls and half-decayed faces. When it snatched up a creature, alive or dead, the bundle of heads parted to show a ring of sharp teeth. It tossed the whole bodies down into the deep, endless-looking mouth. I had no idea how Jake was going to fight this thing, as injured as she was. A flicker of doubt on her face seeing the new monster made my stomach drop. I considered turning to run, but my legs wouldn't move. My body was shutting down, unable to do anything but watch, as this monstrous thing launched itself across the clearing straight at Jake. I couldn't do anything as it bore its way down on her, forcing her to the ground. With great strain, she kept it above her, her small arms looking like they were at their breaking point, lifting such a great mass. Arms of a monster grabbing at her, pinning her flailing legs down, trying to pull her arms. Clawed hands started to dig into her stomach, tearing apart skin easily as she screamed. I felt bile rise in my throat as I stared in utter horror. Jake's organs were being torn from her while she was unable to do anything but scream. I thought we had lost. That was the end. The monster parted its head to drop one of Jake's legs it had ripped from her into its horrible mouth when her screaming stopped. In my utter confusion, I saw her smiling again, the smirk that made it seem like everything was going according to her plan.
Gotcha.
I heard faintly before her hair started to glow like embers. Then, a blast of flame shot up from her directly into the crazy thing's mouth. And I mean a blast. A tunnel of flame shooting straight upwards into the monster's head was burned to nothing in mere seconds. The light was so bright, I could barely see the flames burning away leaves on the trees at the start of the clearing. I had to duck under the coat, trying to protect my face and eyes from the heat. I don't know how long I stayed under the coat, holding my little brother, saying to him everything was going to be all right. I really wanted to just stop right then. The monsters were gone. We could rest. But I couldn't. I had to see what happened to Jake and if there was anything left of her. She was owed that much. Reassuring Jesse some more, I got out from under the coat, leaving him hidden. The air smelled awful. A mixture of burnt flesh and decaying meat made me gag. I composed myself to look around. Some small spots were flickering with flame. Bushes and leaves I hoped would go out before they turned into a real fire. I could still feel the heat in the air. The body of the monster was still, tossed aside and head melted off. Jake was next to it, half her body missing, but strangely, one eye looked at me as if waiting for me to come closer. But she couldn't still be alive, right?
A little help here, Scout.
Her hoarse voice made me jump and run over to her. I was going to lose my dinner if I looked at the gore her stomach had turned into, so I focused on her face.
I need you to do something for me.
How are you?
I started to ask, but she cut me off.
You need to cut off my head. Attach it to one of those creatures' bodies. One without broken arms, or one that you think looks most attractive.
She let out a laugh, but it was so hoarse it kind of sounded like a cough.
I don't think I can.
I stuttered, feeling more on the urge of being sick.
You said you would do anything if I saved you, right?
With the final laugh and a smile still on her face, Jake stopped breathing. The remaining heat and the small fires flickered out at the same time as her. She was right. I did agree to do anything for her. Wording was important, as she said. I had to do this. I left the axe with Jesse. When I went back to grab it, I checked on him to make sure he didn't see any of the dead around us. The first one that Jake had killed was close by, so I picked it up under its arms and dragged it into the clearing. She had smashed its head, so I didn't need to cut it off, but cutting hers off proved to be an ordeal. I had to stop fairly often to dry heave and shake. I'll never forget the feeling in my hands of the axe cutting into bone. When she died, her smile was still on her face. I don't know if it was because of her scar or because her muscles hadn't loosened yet, but she was still smiling. It was a very surreal experience holding a smiling head in your hands. I put it on the creature's neck as fast as I could, while rubbing my palms on my jeans trying to remove the feeling. I wondered if I had to attach the head somehow, with thread or maybe tape. But that question was answered seconds after Jake's head had connected to the dead body. The parts of her old body fell into piles of ash. The body her head was loosely attached to burst into flames and blackened. The creature's body peeled away, and Jake's appeared underneath. Her wounds had healed, as she was very much alive as she sat up rubbing her neck. To my horror, she sat without anything covering her. Even the clothing that she had been wearing faded when her old body had. Even after I saw what Jake looked like under her cloak, I doubted her gender. She was built like a male, meaning she had a completely flat chest. but seeing her exposed made me fully realize that, in fact, she was a girl. I bolted, grabbing her coat and tossing it on top of her in record speed. I didn't want my brother to see a weird naked woman on top of everything else we had saw that night. She didn't look embarrassed. Instead, she cackled at my flushed face. "Can we leave now, please?" I asked, trying to cut through her laughter.
"All right, fine. Don't be grumpy. I doubt anything else is going to attack you two after all this. But I'll still walk you out of the woods. If you're still frightened, you could hold my hand, little ones."
"No thanks," we both shot at the same time.
Oddly, Jake's smile fell a little bit, as she looked a little offended by our rejection.
"His legs are too short. Carry him,"
Jake ordered me, talking about my brother. Jesse had been so shaken up, I doubted he could walk, and it would take us forever to get out of the woods. I helped Jesse onto my back, my cut hand still stinging. I kept the axe in my other hand for the walk back, just in case. Reaching out, Jake placed a hand on Jesse's head. He slumped forward, becoming dead weight on my back. I was about to lay into her when she waved me off.
"I just put the little one to sleep. He has seen enough this night. I could carry him if you wish. In fact, if you are not so attached, I could take him off your hands entirely. I am aware of how bratty little brothers can be."
I was exhausted from everything that had happened. Even so, I refused to be teased by this woman. At least, I hoped at the time she was teasing me.
"Don't touch him," I snapped, and nearly took a step back when her smile fell.
Jake was by far more terrifying than anything in the forest at the moment.
"Oh? How are you going to stop me? You both promised me anything if I saved you. I can collect that at any time. I could take him right now, or parts of him. He has such lovely blue eyes, and I am looking for new ones to replace my own."
Reaching out while she spoke, I was sure she would do something horrible if I didn't stop her. I couldn't think, so I reacted on instinct. When her hand came closer, I turned my head a bit down on it as hard as I could. I felt hot blood coming into my mouth, so hot I thought my tongue was going to burn off, but I didn't let go. It tasted awful and hurt, but I held fast. Another laugh from her and she easily pulled her hand away. The bite mark healed before my eyes.
"We don't owe you anything," I spat, trying to get the taste from my mouth. "I saved you. You were dead. You already got something from us."
That horrible sneer came back, an expression that made my heart nearly stop.
"You think I could die from something like that? I would be just fine. I switched bodies for your sake. I would have healed, but a new body you got out of these woods was much faster. Besides, do you think I could just ask for one thing of you? You agreed to anything. Wording is important. I can ask anything of you until you both die. Even if you somehow do save my life, that doesn't mean we are equal. That is the deal we made. Anything for your life."
She looked so proud of herself, cackling away as I finally let my mistake fully sink in.
"That's not fair," I said, hating how my voice trembled.
"Fair? Fair?"
Her voice had gotten louder and excited.
"Fair is a human concept. Not human and fair is not what I do."
I had to do something. I had to think of my way out of this. I did not let my friends die, only to have Jesse under Jake's thumb for the rest of his life. I at least needed to save him. That's what older siblings are for.
"I'll take Jesse's debt for you. I'll do anything for you. Anything. Just don't get him,"
I said so suddenly it shocked myself.
"Oh? Now how is this fair for me? You were just talking about that word. Why would I take an offer I lose on?"
"Because fair is a human concept. You're not human. You shouldn't care about how fair the offer is."
I could feel myself sweat as I waited for her reaction. She started to smile again, but this time it was a much softer expression. She was laughing, but one that a proud parent would make.
"Fine. I'll take that unfair deal. You belong to me, but your little brother shall be spared. Let's get the hell out of these woods. Your human smell is making me hungry."
I was relaxed for the first time and watched as Jake started to walk away, leaving me behind. Adjusting Jesse on my back, I followed after her to finally leave everything that had happened behind. The walk out of the woods was uneventful. Jake got us back to the trail and walked in front, but I knew no other monsters would come after us. I was tired from carrying my sleeping brother, but refused to stop and rest. When we got out, I stood in the parking lot staring at Josh's car, trying to think of what to do next. Jake didn't leave and watched my silent breakdown.
"Give me the axe," she said, holding her hand out for it.
"Huh?" I didn't even know I was still holding it. I gave it to her, glad to be free of it.
"Now, let me borrow your brother for a few seconds."
That made me back away from her defensively. She let out a sign.
3 people died. You humans are going to make a big deal out of it. I have a human that is a loose end for myself. I could make him confess to chopping up your friends with this axe. The police are happy to have a closed case and I get rid of that human. I don't do things for free, and you can't offer me anything more. This way, I could do a cleanup and have it benefit myself, she explained.
Those flyers. You knew we were in danger. Why didn't you save us sooner? I asked, remembering the 4 of us at the camp looking at the odd papers.
You didn't call me. I cannot do things for free. I cannot come until asked. In fact, helping humans is not my job. I just do this for fun.
It's my fault. Tears came to my eyes. I had the cell phone. If I had just called Jake sooner, we may all still be here.
No, it's not anyone's fault. Like I said, creatures don't do fair. It's not fair that one of your group was replaced and it killed your friends. You are not aware of the dark side of this world, so why would you bother calling for help if you didn't know the danger?
I didn't know if she meant to try and cheer me up. It wasn't in her character, but it made me feel a small bit better. My friends were still gone, but at least I knew there wasn't much we could do about it.
I can alter your brother's memory. You and him left the piss in the woods, got lost, and when you came back, a crazy man killed your friends. That is going to be the truth of what happened. Not a good truth, but one he could handle. And I find that children are bad actors. I can't have him rambling about monsters.
That made sense. I didn't want to trust her with my brother, but I think in the long run it would be better for him to remember something a bit more down to earth. A therapist could deal with an axe murder trauma. He would have more issues trying to get people to believe him about pale forest creatures. A few waves of Jake's hand over Jesse's forehead was all it took to alter his memory for when he woke up.
Why don't you change mine too? I don't think you want me knowing about strange creatures of the night, I asked, but got a sharp kick to the shin.
I don't do things for free. Jesse was so traumatized by what happened, his memory changed on his own. Got it?
I got the hint. Apparently helping Jesse was a freebie. One we couldn't talk about and had to pretend Jake did nothing.
And I can't change yours. You made a deal with me. Let's say I made a deal that I would save you for a nice dinner. And then you gave me that dinner, and I just changed your memory of either not giving me what I was owed, or to you saying that you owe me something else. I hate the rules, but they keep some sort of order. If you make a deal with the creature, your memory cannot be altered. But some don't give a slightest care for the rules. Believe it or not, you got a good deal with me.
I didn't want to consider the fact that Jake was really better than some other monsters out there. She was a monster in her own right, but at least we made it out alive.
Why did you save us? I asked.
She mentioned that saving humans was not her job. She had gotten hurt, and I doubted having her organs torn out was fun in the moment. She looked back and forth and huffed as she was debating if she was going to answer me.
I have a soft spot for kids, she admitted finally, looking almost embarrassed.
Before departing, Jake told me to keep her number. She gave me a grim prediction that once a person encounters a supernatural creature, They are most likely killed by one, even if they live through the first encounter. Everything played out the way she had said. A man confessed to killing Josh, Rebecca, and Tristan. They found their blood, but no bodies. I feared my friends had been added to the list of that giant monster that Jake killed, or turned into a pale creature that may still hunt in the forest. I stayed in my small, sleepy town. You would think, after what had happened, I would never go into the woods. But I am now a volunteer ranger. I'm the one that goes trying to find lost people. Sometimes I find them. Sometimes I don't. Jesse turned out as fine as he could. He's going to therapy, but still, he started the date, which makes me happy. All I wanted for him was to live a normal life. I could have easily thought the whole thing was a bad dream, something my mind made up. I wanted to force myself to believe that. I have never seen anything strange since, even in the woods. I've heard stories, but nothing like the one I had gone through. I almost was able to settle down in a normal day-to-day life, until she showed up to collect my debt. She told me to meet her in the motel room at 8 p.m. I don't know what she wants with me, I didn't ask. I don't think I'll be seen again. I don't know why I'm bothering to write any of this down. Anyone would think this was fiction or that I have lost it. I still arrived early to write this story down in my old school notebook. Even if one person finds it, I want to warn them about making deals. If it was just me that night, I would have let myself get eaten, but Jesse made it out. I don't know what the cost is going to be for me, but it's almost too great. I now know there are things far worse than death. If you ever find yourself in a situation that you can make a deal with the monster, and if you could take a second, please think. You do not want to be in debt to these things, and if you do become indebted, keep in mind, they are not fair creatures, and wording is very important. Sadly, that was all that was written in the journal. I was to leave the next morning so I could not research the story further. Even now, I am running out of time to write down what I read a year ago. My job does keep me busy. I had heard other stories about Jake recently. She was with a different creature and did not do much, but she was there. Maybe I could find more stories about her. I'll sit and listen to anything that comes my way, and I'll write down any more good tales that come along.